Exodus 20, 8 through 11. Exodus 20, 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. You may be seated. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. I know sometimes these 3 o'clock public worship services, we can be a little tired, but let's spur each other on, spur ourselves on, pinch yourself if needed, so that you can really pay attention to the word of the living God as it comes to you. So let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you so much for the word that you've given to us. We thank you that we're not in darkness because of your word, and we pray that you would apply it to our hearts, that we would love the Sabbath day because it's a day that you've given to us as a blessing. And so we pray for your grace and your help and your strength on this time. In Jesus' name, amen. We have been covering, this is my third, and I believe it's going to be my last sermon on the Sabbath, but I wanted to have a couple of sermons, this again, the third one on the Sabbath, covering different realities about probably the most controversial commandments within the Ten. The most controversial, if you ask broadly, is the nature and practice of the Sabbath. And so I spent a whole sermon trying to persuade you from the Word of God that we are duty-bound to keep the first day of the week, the day that we know as Sunday, or I prefer to call the Lord's Day or the Sabbath. That day we are to keep holy because of the death, but more importantly, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ on the first day of the week. That is why, because Jesus rose again from the dead on the first day of the week, therefore bringing in new creation and bringing in greater redemption. We now meet on this day, no longer on the seventh. We meet on the first day, not the seventh, showing that this is the day of God's appointed holy rest, this day and not yesterday. And so I spent a whole sermon trying to show you from the Word of God that point, that the day has changed because of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then I spent last Sabbath day showing you from the Word of God the need to prepare for the Sabbath. Maybe some of you applied this, or maybe you applied other times. Hopefully you're beginning to think through preparing for the Sabbath day. It's not something you kind of jump into. You have to prepare for it to make the most out of it. So we talked about the 6 days that God has given us to do our lawful employments and recreations, because that's said explicitly in the text as well. We have 6 days to do our stuff in the sense of employments, recreations, etc. And then we have 1 day of holy rest that must be prepared for. We must prepare to make the most out of this blessed day. We can't just jump into it without preparation. Anything that we value that we're going to look forward to, we take some preparation for. And how much more should we prepare for God's holy Sabbath? But then today, I want to spend time on Sabbath keeping. Sabbath keeping. What does it look like to keep the day holy? What does it mean to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? And I would just pray, I don't know if this will happen, but I just pray that you would have a teachable heart as I seek to unpack from the Word of God what it would look like for you and for me to keep this day holy. That you would have a teachable spirit to say, if there's things I have to stop doing, I'm willing to do that. If there's things I need to start doing, I'm willing to do that. Otherwise, you might as well tune me out right now if you don't have that heart. Every time you hear the Word of God, it should be your heart desire to say, if I need to stop doing things because they contradict the Word of God, I will stop doing those things. And if there's things I need to start doing because the Word of God tells me to, I will start doing them. Otherwise, there's no point in listening to sermons. The whole point of sermons is not merely to fill your mind, but so that you stop doing certain things and start doing other things because you want to please the God who rescued you in Jesus Christ. Because you want to obey the God who first loved you, you want to show your love back to him by doing what he wants for you. The Boys and Girls Catechism starts by saying, who made you? God made me. What else did God make? God made all things. Why did God make you and all things? For his own glory. How can you glorify God? By loving him and doing what he commands. That's how we glorify God, by loving him and doing what he commands. And so I pray that you would have that type of spirit that wants to be taught from the word to love him and do what he commands. And so the main point of this sermon is the Sabbath is a day of holy rest. And therefore, we must set aside our thoughts, words, and works about unnecessary employments and recreations. The Sabbath is a day of holy rest. And therefore, we must set aside our thoughts, words, and works about unnecessary employments and recreations. First point, the Sabbath is a day of holy rest. The Sabbath is a day of holy rest. Second point, setting aside thoughts, words, and works about unnecessary employments and recreations. My third point, works of necessity and mercy. Works of necessity and mercy. And so may God, who's given us his inspired scripture, teach us to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And so again, my first point, the Sabbath is a day of holy rest. We see that explicitly in verse 8 of the Ten Commandments, where the text says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This is a day given by God as a day of holy rest. It's a holy day. We get 52 days out of the year that God designates for himself as a holiday or a holy day. They are a Christian holiday every week in the Sabbath. It is a day of holy rest. And so that's first and foremost, that this day is not a day of rest merely, but a day of holy rest. If it was a day merely of rest, then the best way to keep the Sabbath would be sleeping the day away and doing nothing. But it's not a day of rest the way we think about it. It's a day of holy rest, giving ourselves to holy activities, spiritual worship, etc. And so the priority of this day, because it is God's day and not ours, is to give ourselves to holy rest. And so we are to set aside certain things so that we can give ourselves to God and to his worship. I'm going to read from our confession. This is chapter 22, paragraph 8, the chapter on religious worship and the Sabbath day. And this is what our confession says. Quote, the Sabbath is then kept holy unto the Lord when men, after a due preparing of their hearts and ordering their common affairs aforehand, do not only observe and holy rest all day from their own works, words, and thoughts about their worldly employments and recreations, but are also taken up the whole time in the public and private exercises of his worship and in the duties of necessity and mercy. End quotes. So our confession of faith, which just merely rightly divides what the word of God says, is that this is a day that's to be set aside for holy rest. And therefore, it's a day that's to be given to public and private worship. The day is to be given to the worship of Almighty God. That's the purpose of the day. To make something holy is to set it aside for the purposes of worship, for the purpose of giving our attention and our thinking to spiritual activities, preeminently God's own worship. That's the purpose of the day. It's to remember this day to give it to God and his worship. Let me take you to a text, though, that I think is the best text, or at least one of the best texts about this. Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, as it relates to the Sabbath day. Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. And starting at verse 13, I'm just going to read verse 13 now. Isaiah 58 and verse 13. Listen to the wording of this text. It says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words." And so we see here that first, we're to turn away our foot from the Sabbath, meaning we're not to break the Sabbath, because it's God's holy day. And one of the wonderful things about this text is where it says we're to call the Sabbath a delight. We're to call the Sabbath a delight. Our heart's desire for this day should be drawn out to God and to the day in delight. When the day comes around, you shouldn't feel that dread of, I'm not going to do what I really want to do because it's the Sabbath. I'm not going to be able to. The opposite should be true, because it's a day of holy rest. Our heart's desire should be, what a blessing that we have one day in seven to be given to fellowshipping with God's people, giving ourselves to public and private worship, giving ourselves to spiritual activities. And so this is how we ought to view the day. Again, it's not our day, it's God's day. It's the holy day of the Lord. It's my holy day, God says. It's the day that belongs to God. And therefore, it is to be focused on worship. The purpose of this day above every other day. And some of these things you might be thinking, but can't we do this on other days? The answer is yes. But with the Sabbath, the day entirely is given to this, where other days we might have times here and there to do these certain things. But the whole day is to be focused on growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the whole purpose of the day, is that we might grow in godliness, in conformity to Jesus Christ, by giving ourselves to personal worship and family worship and preeminently public worship. This is one of the reasons why, from the very beginning of Triune Grace beginning as a particular church, from day one, from October 10th, our first meeting, we had two public worship services, morning and afternoon. Why? Because the heart of this day is to give ourselves to worship. I love it that when I get home, I only have a few hours left that I can do stuff that's productive for the Sabbath. But most of my day is consumed with worship and fellowship with God's people. And so therefore, I don't even have to think too much about my day, because my day is already taken up with so much pleasure in the things of God. It's already taken up so much in the delight of the day, the enjoyment of the day. And this is why, because the preeminent purpose of the Sabbath is public worship. This is why we have not one, but two public worship services. So that we have two opportunities on the Sabbath to devote ourselves specifically to worshiping our triune God. To worshiping our triune God. And so we have that opportunity to hear the word read and preach, to sing God's praises in the morning, to take of the Lord's Supper, to enjoy the prayers. All these things connected with the Sabbath we're able to do as we meet together for worship. And so this is what the day is to be given, that we might be given to God. And outside of public worship, these formal times that we have at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. on the Sabbath, other things to set this day aside as holy is we're encouraging one another to love and good works. We're encouraging one. This is why during fellowship meal, because I had this text on my mind, this is why I'm asking you what stuck out to you from the sermon in particular, because I'm thinking I want to promote godly conversation on the Sabbath so that we're talking about things that are important, connected with God and His Word. There's the reading of good spiritual books. Maybe you don't have as much time during the week, but you have a couple hours in the evening or more time in the morning, and you can give yourself to good godly reading. Or more time to, if you need to catch up on your Bible reading plan, maybe you have more time in the morning than you normally had, or more time in the evening, and so you catch up on your Bible reading plan, or Bible reading, or Bible memorization. Or you talk to people about answered prayer, or prayer that they can, things that they can be praying for you about. You can talk to them about encouraging ways you're growing in your sanctification. Encouraging them, I'm really encouraged by God's grace in my life in this area. You can talk about a host of things connected with growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so you have the opportunity for public worship, for spiritual reading, for spiritual conversation, for spiritual growth, all for the purpose that we might spur one another up and on to love and to good works. And so this is a day we can give ourselves with a good conscience, unreservedly, with no distractions, to spiritual and biblical thoughts, words, and works. We don't have to worry about other responsibilities. We don't have to feel guilty like we're missing something. We should be doing something else. We don't have to feel guilty about those things when we give ourselves wholly and completely to God's worship and to spiritual activities. And the wonderful thing is if you're a member of Triune Grace, you have no reason why you can't make the Sabbath a blessed day, because we give you so many opportunities that if you make the most out of this day, you could go home at 7 o'clock. And then by the time you get home, you might be so tired from the day, an hour or two, and you're ready to go to bed. Because we want to make this day where the day is full of God's worship. It is difficult, to be fair. Even the most committed person to the Sabbath, if they go home at 12 o'clock and they have the rest of the day, even for the person who's most committed to the Sabbath, it's difficult. And that's why we try here, by God's grace, to make it as easy as possible under God to set the day aside. Because if you make the most out of this day, you're going to have a lot of spiritual activities that you can enter into. A lot of opportunities for worship, 2 times for public worship, a lot of times for godly conversation, for fellowship with God's people, and so that you might be growing in grace. And so it's wonderful to remind ourselves that in the Sabbath, God commands us to be blessed. That's what he tells us. I command you to be blessed, because this is a day for blessing, for growth, for holiness. Because what's the Christian's greatest desire but to be more conformed to the image of God's Son? And God is saying, on this day, I have set this day aside for you so that you can be blessed to the max. And so that your great desire, you can give yourself completely to it, growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God is saying, I command you to be blessed. I want you to be blessed. I want you to know the blessing of this day. And therefore, I command you to be blessed. I want you to be blessed. I want you to know the blessing of this day by giving yourself to worship publicly, privately, in the fellowship with the saints. And so this is what the day positively is to be given to. Those things, spiritual activities, preeminently worship and other spiritual activities, because we are to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It's a holy day of rest. It's a holy day of rest. And it starts by calling the Sabbath a delight. And so first and foremost, before you can do any of these things positively, you must first call the day that God has given a delight. You must first delight in the day before you can delight in the activities of the day. And that comes first by delighting in the God of the day, the Lord of the Sabbath, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we begin to call the Sabbath a delight, because we love God and therefore we love his day. We love his day. But then secondarily, my second point, setting aside thoughts, words, and works about unnecessary employments and recreations. If we're really going to give ourselves to the purpose of the day, holy rest, if we're really going to give ourselves to what God calls a blessing, if we're really going to call the Sabbath a delight, by necessity, we're going to have to set some things aside. By necessity, we're going to have to put things aside. Otherwise, we're not really able to give ourselves fully to what God commands of us. And there probably are not many commandments so flesh-withering as keeping the Sabbath day holy. Because our remaining sin hates giving a day to God. But according to our renewed nature, we love it. But it's withering. It's work, especially at first, to really and practically give yourself to the purpose of the day. You have to fight. You have to work so that you might set things aside, and so that you might give yourself to the purpose of the day. We see here in Isaiah 58 that we are to honor him by not doing our own ways, by not finding our own pleasure, and by not speaking our own words. That's what the text literally says. that we are to call the Sabbath a delight and honor God on the Sabbath by not doing our own ways, not finding our own pleasure, not speaking our own words. As I said at Wednesday prayer meeting, that this is how we apply other commandments, like Jesus did. The commandments don't merely apply to our external behavior, but also our thoughts and our words. Jesus, talking about the sixth commandment, says, "You should not murder." And to the Pharisees who thought they were keeping the commandment, "You should not murder," says, "If you have sinful anger and sinful speech, you break the sixth commandment." And so it's not good enough for us merely to say, "Well, I'm not externally murdering anybody," if we are harboring bitterness and sinful speech. And so it is with the fourth commandment. It's not good enough that we merely go through the motions while our thoughts and our words are consumed with employments and recreations. Employments and recreations. And so we are to set those things aside. We are to lay them aside, not doing our own ways, not finding our own pleasure, not speaking our own words. Let me walk through what those things are getting at. Where it says, we shall honor him, not first doing your own ways. That, I think, has a general understanding of our lawful employments. It cannot mean sinful things. Why? Because he tells us not to do it on the Sabbath. It would be wrong to do it any day if it was sinful. If it was sinful, he wouldn't need to say, on the Sabbath, don't do your own ways. Because it's already sinful. You should not do your own ways on any day if what it meant was sinful things. But it cannot mean that because it's explicitly saying, on the Sabbath, don't do your own ways. So what it means is this. On the Sabbath, we are not to give ourselves to our lawful, God-approved employments, even if they are lawful. Even if they are God-blessed in the sense for those 6 days. On this day, we are not to do our own ways. And if I could add, we are not to contribute to others doing their own ways. Because not good enough for us merely not to do our own ways while we are at the same time approving by partaking in those things of others doing their own ways. Because you might be saying, well, I'm not working on this day, but you are approving those who are by using their business. When you go out to eat or go to a baseball game or do any buying and selling on the Sabbath, what you're saying in principle is I'm giving approval to those who are doing this. You would never say out of your mouth, but that's what you're doing. You're giving approval to those who are practicing those things. And so we are not to do our own ways. We are not to contribute in our own business. That's unnecessary. But we are also not to contribute to others. Because by doing that, we are giving approval of those who practice Sabbath breaking. And so we are not to do our own ways. We are to forsake it. We are to put it aside. Not only in our external behavior, but also in our thoughts and our speech. Our speech and our thoughts are not to be consumed with our lawful employments. They're to be consumed with calling the Sabbath a delight. They're not to be consumed in what we're going to do for the next week coming up, but it's to be consumed with God and his worship. And think how, this is why I said in the beginning, the Sabbath is so flesh-withering. Because it takes a lot of concentration and effort as things creep into your mind about what you're going to do. And you can justify saying these things are lawful in the sense of lawful in the other 6 days. Instead of fighting against them, you can give in to them. Instead of saying, you know what, I need to fight being consumed with my work and my recreations. We can give in to those desires. And so we are not to do our own ways or partake in other people doing their own ways. Because this is not their day. This is not your day. This is not my day. This is, according to the text, God's holy day. That's what the text says, my holy day. And so it should be given to God for those purposes. For those purposes of giving ourselves to God for his holy purposes and not doing our unnecessary employments. We see, if you turn with me to Nehemiah 13, we see Nehemiah addressing this matter. Nehemiah chapter 13. I'm going to start at verse 15. Nehemiah 13, 15, and I'll read down to verse 20. It says this, Nehemiah 13, starting at verse 15. In those days, I saw people in Judah treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves and loading donkeys with wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of burdens, which they brought in Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I warned them about the day on which they were selling provisions. Men of Tyre dwelt there also, who brought in fish and all kinds of goods, and sold them on the Sabbath to the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said to them, "What evil thing is this that you do, by which you profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers do thus? And did not our God bring all this disaster on us and on the city? Yet you bring added wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath." So it was as the gates of Jerusalem, as it began to be dark before the Sabbath, that I commanded the gates to be shut and charged they must not be opened till after the Sabbath. Then I posted some of my servants at the gates so that no burdens would be brought in on the Sabbath day. Now the merchants and sellers of all kinds of wares lodged outside Jerusalem once or twice. We see Nehemiah very irate. The people are buying and selling on the Sabbath day, that they're coming and bringing these burdens. And he says, "What evil thing is this that you do, by which you profane the Sabbath day?" They're saying, this is just a day of merchandise. This is a day of buying and selling. This is like every other day. And Nehemiah says, "No, we're not having any of that. We are not going to give this day to bring in activities to buy or to sell." The men who were bringing them in were guilty, and the children of Israel were guilty for entering into buying from them. Both were in the wrong. And so we see that we are not to give ourselves to our ways. These people, because they did not love God's day, wanted to make a profit from God's day instead of seeking to set that day apart for God and for his worship. And then back to Isaiah 58, we see as well that not only are we not to go our own ways or do our own ways, we are also not to find our own pleasure. The text literally says, "Nor finding your own pleasure." Again, beloved, this cannot mean sinful pleasure. Otherwise, there'd be no point to say don't find your own pleasure on the Sabbath. Because every day, if it's sinful pleasure, don't find it. But it must mean lawful pleasure. Things that are lawful to find. Pleasure that's lawful to get, but on the Sabbath, it would be unlawful. Hopefully, you're persuaded by the text on that. He's saying, on the Sabbath, don't find your own pleasure. Every other day, this pleasure will be fine except for on the Sabbath. That's the implication of the text. And not finding your own pleasure can be put under the broad category of what we call, in our culture, recreations. The things that are not technically work, technically employment, but pleasures. Pleasurable recreations. Sports, activities like this. Giving ourselves to these things. And so we are not on the Sabbath day to find our own pleasure. Things that we enjoy to do, things that we find pleasure in, that on the six other days will be perfectly lawful, perfectly acceptable. On this day, we're to set them aside because they're not proper for God's holy day. They're not proper for God's holy day. They distract us from giving ourselves to calling the Sabbath a delight and giving ourselves to spiritual activities. And so we are to set our own pleasures aside. Things that we might enjoy, things that we might love to do, things that are perfectly acceptable in the other 6 days, but are not acceptable on this day. One thing I'll say on this, there could be a legitimate point to be made that for some children, younger people, some type of exercise is necessary for the Sabbath. That can be a reasonable deduction that it is necessary. That giving themselves to some type of activity because of the sitting and because of all that, they need to get their energy out because they're young. But I would challenge you, make sure you're doing it because it's a necessity and not just because you enjoy your own pleasures. Because you're not actually profiting from the day like you could if you're just finding your own pleasure because you enjoy it, instead of seeking to deny self for the day and give yourself to the better pleasure of calling the Sabbath a delight. Sometimes we can justify our recreations under necessity when really they're not necessity, they're just pleasure. And my Bible says right here that on the Sabbath, we are not to find our own pleasure. Not because God doesn't want you to have that pleasure on the other 6 days, but because he doesn't want you to have that pleasure when you can have greater pleasure on this day by calling the Sabbath a delight. And so we are not to find our own pleasure. And that could be a whole host of things that are proper. It's obviously not saying not to find your pleasure in the Sabbath, because we're commanded to find pleasure in the Sabbath. It means finding pleasure in our worldly recreations. For people like me who love sports, or maybe better put, I enjoy sports. It can be hard to lay aside sports when you enjoy them. It can be hard to set aside sports that are so enjoyable, but I know for myself, one, they're not necessity, and therefore, they're distracting me from the good purpose of the day. They're distracting me from the greater thing that I could get out of the day. I enjoy tennis and volleyball and basketball and football and basically every sport really except for soccer. Not really a fan of soccer. But these type of things, I'm trying to set these things aside because I want the blessing of the day. I'm not doing it because I feel like I'm in legalistic bondage. I'm doing it because I want to call the Sabbath a delight and not find my own pleasure like the text says. I don't feel in bonds. I feel free because I have the blessing of getting greater pleasure than any sport can give me in God's worship and fellowshiping over things that actually matter for eternity. And so it's a wonderful liberty, not a bondage, to not find my own pleasure on this day. And so I would challenge you. I think our church has become lax on this. I genuinely do. And some of it was my fault because I gave some permission at the beginning. But I would challenge you. Just doing pleasure for pleasure's sake is not a good way to keep the Sabbath. Is not a good way to honor God on the Sabbath. You want to honor him by not finding your own pleasure. Those things could be generally lawful for 6 days, but they probably are not lawful for the Sabbath. If it's getting some recreation so that you can get some exercise after sitting for a while, okay, that's understandable. But doing it just because it's enjoyable is not a proper use of God's day. And then lastly, we see, nor speaking your own words. Nor speaking your own words. So we see not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, which is saying that, similar to what I was talking about earlier, that not only are we not to enter into lawful employments and lawful recreations, we're not to be consumed with talking about those things. Our words are to be connected on calling the Sabbath a delight and not speaking about our own worldly pleasures. And when I use worldly, I mean lawful, but not appointed for the Sabbath day. Our words are not to be consumed with those things. It doesn't mean that we can't ask people how they're doing, what's going on, and talk about how life is going. And obviously in those, work's going to come up. And that's acceptable as we're talking to people and seeing how things are going. But a continual talk about work or the sports games or what we're watching and these type of things is not appropriate for God's holy day. Because we're not speaking our own words. We are to speak about things about God's holy day and calling the Sabbath a delight and worship and rest, holy rest, and these type of things. But not speaking about our own words. And so the only way that we can genuinely call the Sabbath a delight is we must set aside finding our own employments and seeking those things out or causing others, finding our own pleasure, or speaking our own words. It's directly from the text. It's right from the text. So those things must be set aside. Again, they are not sinful things because they are lawful on other days besides the Sabbath. But they are unlawful on God's holy day. And if you view it this way, that what you're giving up, which we have to talk about what you have to give up because it's in the text and God wants us to think about it, what you're giving up is not worth comparing to what you gain. What you're giving up is not worth comparing to what you gain. So you might be thinking, well, Pastor Sam, if I do this, that's going to be difficult. Well, it might be to really give yourself to what this text says. But let me tell you, it is worth it. It is worth it. Obeying God and doing what he says is always worth it. Even like I said at the beginning, even if that means you have to change some of your practices, change some of your thinking, change some of your activities, it's worth it. Why is it worth it? Because verse 14, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Let me unpack what that's getting at. If you actually honor God and call the Sabbath a delight, if you actually don't seek to forsake your own employments, forsake your own pleasures, and forsake your own words, God says if you do that, then you will find greater delight in Him. You find greater spiritual victory over sin, and you'll find greater blessing of experiencing the promises of God. That's what verse 14 is getting at. If you actually do these things, then your delight in Almighty God will grow. Who doesn't want that as a Christian? Who doesn't want to enjoy God more and find Christ as a greater treasure? Who doesn't want, by God's grace, to overcome sin more and more? And who doesn't want to experience more and more the blessedness of God's promises? That's what it means that He'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. Who doesn't want that? If you're a Christian, you do. I know you do. And God is saying is when you seek to set aside your ways and your pleasures and your words, you experience the blessing of greater delight in Him, greater victory over sin, and greater blessing of experiencing and knowing His promises. And then lastly, works of necessity and mercy. Works of necessity and mercy. Our confession highlights works of necessity and mercy. Obviously, the Lord Jesus Christ does. He says, if your ox is in a ditch, get the ox out. We see this with Him healing on the Sabbath day. All these different things, works of necessity and mercy. And so there is a place on the Sabbath and outside of giving ourselves to holy rest and spiritual activity to things that are works of necessity and mercy. Like eating, like grooming ourselves. Like if someone, God forbid, walked down the steps as they're trying to leave and they broke their leg, taking them to the hospital. These type of things. Police officers, firemen, these type of things, they have to go on. Because their works of necessity and mercy. And so there's a proper place for that. The Word of God acknowledges that there is a place for those things. Or maybe you have work that there are things that absolutely have to be done on that day for the maintenance of those things. We want to make sure they are genuine necessity and not just put under that because we want to get an out. But if you love God, hopefully you don't want to get an out for the Sabbath. Hopefully you want to do it because it's genuine necessity. But we want to remember that there are things that are genuine necessity that absolutely have to be done and cannot wait till Monday. But a good criteria to know whether it is a necessity, a general way, is to say, as a general principle, could I do this on Monday and be okay? Could I do this on Monday and be okay? That's a good way. It's not a bulletproof, but that's a good way to think about it. Would it be okay if I do this on Monday? Could it wait till Monday? Or does it have to be done now? The reason why I think that it could fall short a little bit as I'm thinking, saying it, is you could say, well, I technically don't have to eat today. I could wait till Monday. But it is lawful to eat on the Sabbath. So that's why it could break down slightly. But hopefully you get the general gist of it. That if it could wait till Monday, it would be something that is not truly a necessity. Or truly a mercy issue. And so also as well as it relates to those who their work is in the home. One key way is realizing that you don't need the best type of food on the Sabbath. I remember when I was in Virginia, when I was doing a pastoral internship out there, and they had me in the little house by the church building. And a lot of times on the Sabbath, I would go over to Pastor Ryan's house. He also believed in the Sabbath, which made it a blessing and all that. And so they would just do soups and sandwiches. Super easy, because the wife was a homemaker and all this. At least I believe she was at that time. Yeah, she was at that time. And they wanted to make it easy. And so they didn't want to give her a whole bunch where it was just very easy, where they could make something very simple. So even that, for those who might not be giving themselves to employments outside the home, but seeking to be wise about what they do on the Sabbath inside the home. And so we are allowed, we can, if we need to, give ourselves to works of necessity and mercy. Some of that might be a nap. That might be a merciful thing for your body because, let's say, you want to get some reading done, but you feel like you can't read and concentrate. Maybe you take a 10, 15-minute nap so that you can concentrate better. Or maybe it's getting a little bit of, like I said before, a little bit of exercise so that your body can be alive, so that you can actually get the get everything out of the day. But again, think about the difference with that. The heart behind it is very different. Getting the nap is so that you can enjoy the day better, not because you just want to merely enjoy the nap. Doing the exercise, not merely because you enjoy exercise, but because you want to make the most out of the day. The heart is different. The heart is because I want to make the most out of this day, therefore I do this. And not just because this is my own pleasure. My own pleasure. And so, beloved, on the Sabbath day, the holy day of rest, we must be giving ourselves to God-centered activities, especially worship, and setting aside thoughts, words, or works about our own employments and recreations, and as needed, giving ourselves to things of necessity and mercy. But as it brings to some application, some more direct application, one, if you're without the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the Lord of the Sabbath, who alone can save you from your sin, you cannot really enjoy this day. Because heavenly delights are not your delights because you are not yet spiritually minded. And so you must need the redemption that is found in Jesus Christ so that you can enjoy the day of rest. The joy, the day of rest, the day of holy rest. And for saints, one, we know that in all commandments in different ways, we can stumble and fall. Maybe some of these things, I'm assuming as it relates to the Sabbath, it can be convicting about what it means to really keep the day holy. So confess your sins. Go to God for mercy. God is a merciful God and knows our desires are for Him. And so if you stumble and fall or do something you shouldn't have done or realize because you're hearing more about the Sabbath, you've done things in the past that you shouldn't have partaken in, then confess them and seek to forsake them and get mercy from God. Get mercy from God. And we must first and foremost, as it relates to this, remember that Christ died and rose again for us so that we might enjoy the blessing of this day. And so we must first and foremost pray to our God and Father that He would cause us to love His day. That's where it all begins. Love for the day. Love for God and for His day. That we would pray, God, I want to love the day like You want me to. Help me. Help me. And the beautiful thing is when we pray according to His will, He hears us. And it is God's will that we call the Sabbath a delight. And therefore, when you pray that, God is well pleased with that prayer. God delights in that type of prayer. When one of His children said, God, I want to delight in the day more. He loves that type of prayer. We must as well, you must, I must, by the grace of God, seek to give ourselves to God-centered activities, especially the worship of Almighty God. We must be giving ourselves to God's worship, to giving ourselves to these activities so that we can set aside the day aside, this 24-hour time period, giving ourselves to God's worship and God-centered activities. Think about books that you would like to read. Think about sermons you would want to listen to. Think about conversations you want to have. Think about prayers you want to pray. You have a whole day to give yourself to those things. You have a whole day. Yes, you have the time here, but you also have other times. Think about those things and seek to add those things to your schedule on the Sabbath so that you can give yourself to them. And you must fight. I must fight. And I use that word particularly, fight, to set aside worldly employments and recreations on this day so that you might enjoy the blessing of this day. You must fight for it because it is a fight. All of us desire these things, and it can be so justifiable because we can think, well, it's lawful on the other days. It's acceptable on the other days, and so we can justify it so much easier because it's only unlawful on this day, not on the other, since we can easily justify it in our own mind to say, well, it's okay to do this. It's okay to give myself to this. So we must fight against it. And we must know when to give ourselves to genuine works of necessity and mercy for God's glory. We must know what are genuine works of necessity, genuine works of mercy, and we must do them for God's glory. Not putting anything under that because we want to get out of the day, but because it's a genuine thing of necessity. It should be, if you have to be away from God's worship because of genuine necessity, if you're doing it right, it should be sorrowful to you because you still want to be with God's people worshiping, that you're doing those things because you believe they're necessity, but you wish you were here. You wish you were fellowshipping. That's one way to show that it's actually necessity, because your heart is here while you have to be there. And so you want to make sure that it's genuine works of necessity and mercy. And you should be willing. We should be willing in a day and age not to compromise on this. Not to compromise. Why do I say that? Some people, if they actually hold strong to this, in some professions, they could lose their job. But if your job told you, you need to lie for us, or you need to steal for us, or you need to set up this idol for us and have a service for it, hopefully all of us would say, you have to fire me before I do that. But do we do the same thing for the fourth commandment? Will we have the same conviction for the fourth commandment? Setting our flag of this day is not to be given to worldly employments and recreations, and therefore I'd be willing to get fired over keeping the Sabbath day holy. Do we actually believe that it's that important? If we're willing to lose our job for not lying and not stealing, how much more for giving God his holy day? This must be a thing of conviction, a thing of that we are ready to lose our job over. I know it wasn't that serious of a job for me, but when I was serving tables, I told them from the beginning, I'm not working on the Lord's Day. And if they would have called me in, I would have told them no. And if they would have fired me, that would have been okay. That's the point I came to. If they fire me, I know it's not as serious as some jobs, but I had to come to that point. Thankfully, they never called me in. I think they realized I was really serious about it. But they never called me in because I was not willing to violate God's day just to please man. Just to please man. And let me ask you this question as I conclude. Do you want to delight in God more? Do you wish you loved God better? Do you wish you were more an overcomer over your sin? Do you wish you understood and appreciate the promises of God more? Does that interest you at all? Does that sound good to have more delight in God? To find the joy of the Lord as your strength? To have more victory over remaining sin? And to more and more know the wonderful promises of God? Does that sound appealing to you? Well, then keep the Sabbath day holy, because that's the promises of verse 14. That's what God says. He wants you to have more delight in him. He wants you to have spiritual victory. He wants you to know his promises experientially. And so God says, then call the Sabbath a delight and honor him, not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasure, and not speaking your own words. And God says, you will grow in those things. I don't know, but that sounds good to me. That sounds good to me. And the beautiful thing is God is commanding me, be blessed to get blessed. We understand this, right? God is saying, be blessed to get blessed. The day itself is already a blessing. And then by keeping this blessed day, I get more blessing. It's too good to be true. That by keeping this day that I already get satisfaction in, I just get more of it. But that's what God says. That's what God says. And so I know for me, and I hope for you, that that's your desire. And these things, you don't hear legalistic bondage, but you hear freedom. To give yourself to what you truly love. And if you don't love the Sabbath now, why are you going to like the eternal Sabbath? If the earthly Sabbath is a burden, why would you like the day of holy or the season of holy rest for all eternity, where there's only holy activities going on in the eternal state? If you don't like it now, why are you going to like it then? If it seems burdensome now, why do you think it's not going to be burdensome then? And so, beloved, our weekly Sabbath every week as we remember the resurrection of Christ is just a foretaste of our holy rest in eternity, where sin and distractions of this temporary life go away and we rest in the presence of God in joy unspeakable and full of glory. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for the Sabbath, and we pray that we would delight in it more. Help me. Help me. Oh, what a reality it can be to fight against the pulls of this world. So help me and my brethren love the day and enjoy it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.